Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This week, we're going back to my roots. Missing persons. There is something about missing persons cases and the mystery behind them that intrigues me to a whole new level. And each one has their own unique set of circumstances. The case we're discussing today may seem like it has an easy answer if you look at it from the basics, but dig a little deeper and you may find it gets just a little bit more complicated. This is the disappearance of Maura Murray. Throughout human history, there have been stories. Stories that chill us to the bone, leaving us questioning the world around us and remind us that truth is often stranger than fiction. These tales echo through time. Whispers of unexplained disappearances, restless spirits, and crimes so baffling they defy logic. Tonight, we peel back the layers of reality to uncover the darkness lurking just beneath the surface. Was it fate, chance, or something far more sinister? Journey with us as we delve into the mysterious, the supernatural, and the true crimes that have haunted our collective consciousness. This is All Things Mysterious, where the shadows hold secrets, and every story is a puzzle waiting to be solved. Maura Murray was born in Hanson, Massachusetts on May 4, 1982. She had four siblings, two brothers and two sisters, and was raised in a fairly strict Irish Catholic household with her parents, Fred and Lori. Despite their religion, Fred and Lori divorced when Maura was 6 years old, and Maura spent most of her time with her mom, but stayed very close with her dad. She was also very close with her sisters, not as much her brothers, but throughout her childhood, she considered her sisters her best friends. She was especially close with her dad, going on weekend hiking trips. He was almost like her personal coach. Her family as a whole was pretty active, and Maura was as well. She was on the track team in high school, as well as a few other sports. And when it came time to enroll in college, she followed her sister, Julie, to enroll in West Point Military Academy. Very few people who apply to this school actually get in, but after a few semesters, she transferred out. At first, you'd think maybe it just wasn't the right fit, but more was going on underneath the surface.
I don't know much about this case, which is kind of weird since I mentioned this case in the Crime vs. Cap. But I don't really like, I didn't do a full deep dive in any of these cases, especially the ones I didn't know. But this one definitely seems kind of interesting. But again, it's missing person, so, I just added that one to the list to give you an easy answer. And then it bit me in the butt.
It did, because I actually knew it.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was the last question or the second to last.
I feel like it was the second to last.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, either way, you would have still won because you got the last two, unfortunately. But I don't know. Seems interesting. Don't know much about it. It's missing persons, so eh.
The biggest takeaway on this is just knowing kind of how she grew up. Like, it's important knowing the rest of the story, how she grew up. Right? She was really close with her family, and knowing how the rest of the story plays out, we need to know how she was raised. She was big into athletics. Her father was a really big supporter in that. Her whole family was a really big supporter in that. Like, she was extremely close with her sisters, right? So when I talk about her disappearance later on, this is really important to know.
Noted.
At one point, while at West Point, she had been caught stealing cosmetics. This seemed to be completely out of character for her and her family and her friends, and she received a disciplinary action from the school. Ultimately, whether it be because of this or other reasons, she decided to leave West Point and enroll in the University of Massachusetts Amherst for a nursing degree. All seemed well for a little while, but in November of 2003, Maura was caught using someone else's credit card to order a lot of food. The charges were ultimately dismissed, provided that she paid the girl back, but it just feels like Maura started changing as a person and no one knows why. On the night of November 5th, 2004, Maura was working a shift at school in security when she answered a call and ended up almost catatonic. She wouldn't say anything except, "My sister." She was crying, but also completely blank in the face, so she was sent home. This was an isolated incident. On February 7th, her dad met her to go car shopping because her car just kept breaking down and she needed it for travel to school and work. They didn't find one that day, so Maura dropped her dad off at his motel, used his car, a brand new Toyota Corolla, to go to a party, and left that party around 2:30 a.m. Around 3:30 a.m., she hit a guardrail, totaling his brand new car. There was no record of a sobriety test given. Then, she was driven to her dad's motel room and stayed there until morning. Her dad was not angry about the car, insurance would pay for it. He was just happy that she was okay. Maura agreed to get some forms from the police so that they could file the insurance claims. He got a rental car the next day and went back home.
I have questions. He lives in a hotel room?
No, he stayed in the hotel when he went car shopping with her.
Oh, okay. But like, he's got a brand new car, but he lives in a hotel. That's kind of weird. Anyways, so not saying that he didn't handle it correctly. The fact that he supposedly didn't get mad when she told him this car. I think he would have got at least a little mad, even though insurance will pay for it. It's still going to be expensive. Because obviously insurance doesn't pay for anything without us paying for it first. So it just seems that he had no negative reaction at all. Some kind of negative emotion.
No, I agree with you on that. But like in every interview he's ever done, even like directly after, and this is very close to when she actually went missing, he seemed really calm. If I had done that, I would have gotten my ass handed to me.
Yeah, I mean, my parents would have been pissed off and definitely yelled at me. They too would have been happy that I was okay, but totaled a brand new car. That's a big deal, regardless. And then you have to go through that, depending on what insurance you have. I mean, there could be a fight with the insurance. Even if you got a crappy insurance provider, there could be even more of a fight. Based on the fact that he got a rental car the next day, unless it was a rental car that he paid for himself. It sounds like he might have a halfway decent insurance, but I don't know. It just, I can't get past that detail. Like to me, that's, it almost seems like he edited what happened to avoid suspicion on himself type thing.
It does seem really, really weird. But again, like her and her dad were super close. I have no idea because it's honestly not spoken about too much if the rest of the kids were as close to her dad, because they did go on a ton of family vacations. So it's definitely possible, but I don't know. Like it does seem just to me really weird. Like my dad he's passed away, but I was really close with my dad. Frankly, while I know my dad loves me, his first reaction would have been like, "You're okay." I would have been like, "Yeah, I'm okay." And then grounded for the remainder of my life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so odd that I just can't get past that part. You add that to the fact that she's been acting out lately and almost changing her personality. My first thought would be either she got into drugs or alcohol. At least as a parent, based on everything you've said so far, that would be my first thing, is that she either was drunk or got high and then crashed a car. So then my question is, why didn't he think that? Or is he not telling us what happened, you know?
Well, and that's the weird part, because there was no field sobriety test done. If she had been drinking, she wasn't drunk enough for the police to believe she was drunk.
In most places, protocol would be to give a field sobriety test, because that's odd. It's not something that happens without factors.
Especially considering she's college aged, it's 3:30 in the morning. That just screams, I've probably been out at a party.
When this happened?
November 7th?
I meant year.
2004.
Yeah, there's no way they shouldn't have done a field sobriety test. There's so many oddities. Her behavior is odd, but not super odd because teenager rebellion. But the behaviors of people around her that are really odd, especially her dad. I don't know any parent that wouldn't at least get a little upset, even at just the inconvenience of having to deal with insurance.
Nobody likes dealing with insurance.
And the fact that he's saying he was not mad and had no negative emotions whatsoever about this ordeal, it's just odd to me. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he should have screamed, yelled, and all that to her and stuff. But for him to say that there was no anger or nothing, it's just odd. If it was my daughter, I wouldn't be mad at her necessarily for wrecking the car. I'd just be mad that I'd have to deal with insurance.
Like I said, nobody likes dealing with insurance.
It's odd to me.
Well, believe it or not, from here, things get even more weird.
Yeah, every time you say that, I like focus on the thing that you don't want me to focus on.
You really do. You're good at that.
Like, here, focus on this. I'm like, no, I don't care about that. What about this? So let's see what you think is odd, and I'll tell you what is odd.
So like I said, here's where things get extra weird. On Monday, February 9th, Maura cleaned her entire room, boxing it up. She searched for directions to Vermont, places she had been to before, and sent an email to her boyfriend, Billy, saying, and I quote, I love you more, stud. I got your messages, but honestly, I don't feel like talking too much of anyone. I promise to call today, though. I love you, Maura. She also made a call about renting a condo in New Hampshire, where she had past vacationed with her family, and then sent an email to her professors saying there was a death in the family and she would be out for a week. There had not been a death in the family. She made yet another phone call to Stowe, Vermont, asking about hotels in the area. She then packed a bag with clothes, necessities, her textbooks, and her birth control pills, and left campus around 3:30 p.m., then stopping by an ATM to mostly clear her account of $280. She then stopped by a liquor store and purchased wine, Bailey's, Kahlua, and vodka. She was alone on the CCTV.
Okay, I'm gonna focus on that text message.
It was an email, but okay.
To her boyfriend? Okay, now I'm even more weirded out. Who the fuck emails the boyfriend? Or girlfriend.
Back then, we had flip phones and you had to pay per text message. It was an email.
Yeah. And I still sent a million text messages.
I vaguely remember that time as well, but she emailed him fairly often instead of text messaging.
I'll be 100% honest. I don't think I've ever emailed anybody anything personal. I think I've always just texted.
Keep in mind, she had probably grown up emailing rather than texting. While we had grown up texting, she grew up emailing.
How old was she?
2004, she was 21. I know she was old enough to buy alcohol.
83, right?
She was born in 82.
82, okay. Well, that's what I was asking. So she's 6 years older than me. Regardless, we all kind of grew up in the birth of technology. It's weird. But, you know, focus on something else. It was a weird time back then.
It was.
Like, data was free. You basically got unlimited data. It was slow as fuck, but you had free data.
Wait 10 minutes for this website to pop up.
Text messages were like 10 cents a message or something.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I know it was like you got like 1,000 free messages or something.
I just remember it costing so many cents per message and me racking up a really, really expensive bill, and my mom was ready to absolutely kill me.
Yeah, that was the good old days when you could text basically blindfolded, give any millennial an old flip phone, and we could probably still text without even looking at the screen.
Heck yeah. Good old T9 messaging.
Oh, man, that was the greatest thing in the world. I seen a meme the other day where it had just a bunch of numbers, but it was the T9 thing. I was like, oh.
I can decipher this.
But anyways, weird that she sent an email to her boyfriend. I don't know. That just feels impersonal to me. Like, it's an email to someone I'd send a coworker or insurance company, not something I would, like, email my girlfriend. So that's kind of weird.
The way I understand it, she had an odd phone plan, so I'm not sure that she always had the ability to text. I wonder if she went to emails because that was what she had available.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I guess that's partly my whole thing. I've never emailed anybody on a personal level. I've never just been like, hey, how are you doing? And I guess that's just odd to me. Like, I guess I've always associated emails as more like business purposes and to deal with customer service so they can email you in 2 weeks after you send them a message.
Touche.
No, I totally forgot what the rest of the stuff you said. There was something else that I wanted to bring up too, but I can't remember what it was now.
She boxed up her entire room. She searched for directions to Vermont, sent an email to her boyfriend. She made a call about renting a condo in New Hampshire. She made a call to Stowe, Vermont, asking about hotels in the area. She packed a bag with clothes and other stuff and left campus around 3:30, cleaned out her account, stopped by a liquor store.
Yeah, I've used the death in the family thing to get out of college before for a week. Sometimes you just need a break. It was a lot easier back then. I don't think you could do it now. Nothing really sounds extremely odd at this point.
The fact that she boxed her entire room up isn't odd to you?
No, I mean, are we talking about her dorm room? Or...
yeah, her entire dorm, including the wall art and everything. She boxed every single thing up.
Maybe she just didn't know if she really wanted to be in school or not. We've all had those moments where we don't know if what we're doing with our life is what we want to be doing. Maybe she just wanted to take a break and figure things out, see if that's what she wanted to do or not. If it wasn't, maybe she just didn't want to go all the way back and have to do all that. It's not super odd, but I'm kind of weird, so I don't know if I could leave. I hated leaving stuff in my locker at school for a long period of time. I always had those nightmares where I'd just forget to go into school on the last day and all my stuff would be stuck there forever.
You are so weird.
I'm not denying that. So I don't know. On the surface, it doesn't seem odd to me. I can see a reasonable explanation of why she did it.
To me, it seems super weird.
But again, I've talked about this before. If I ever go missing and someone looks at my day-to-day life, I'm sure it's going to seem all odd to everybody.
You're freaking weird as hell.
I'm not denying that. I mean, even back then, I used to skip school in high school just to go sit at the falls and watch the water.
That's not weird, actually.
Most people skip school to do something fun. It doesn't seem super odd to me, I guess. Like, not... I mean, I guess since it doesn't seem odd to me, it probably is a little odd, but I don't know. Like, nothing screams to me, this is criminal or something happened. Or it just seems like someone that needed a break from life. I do believe that something definitely happened to her. Her personality changes. Something happened. I can almost guarantee that.
Like, with all the other pieces coming together, I feel like she was at least mentally going through something. I don't know what, but I feel like she was at least going through something, and nobody knows what it was.
Someone knows. Again, I can't shake the whole email to the boyfriend thing.
There were a whole lot of emails. They corresponded via email all the time.
I guess, you know, it's probably normal. Maybe it's maybe just I'm hyper focusing on that for no reason. But like I said, to me, emails just seems impersonal. I mean, I guess technically it's not much different than letters, but I don't know.
I think you're just being weird on that one.
I don't know. There's nothing really seems odd so far. Definitely think something happened to her, and I think somebody knows more on that than what they're saying. But other than that, I don't know.
The next sighting of Maura was unfortunately when she wrecked her car. Around Woodsville, New Hampshire, a homeowner heard a crash and went outside to investigate. It was after 7 p.m., and a car, now known to be Maura's, had done a complete 180 on the road, pointing the opposite direction of traffic. At 7:27 that night, she reported it to the police, saying she saw a man inside with a cigarette, but later said it could have just been the light from Maura's phone. Later that night, a school bus driver came across the scene and spoke with Maura, who was outside the car. She said she had already called AAA and begged him not to call the police. She seemed physically okay, just cold, so he left, but did call the police and report the accident when he got home. He made the call at 7:43 p.m. There is no record of a phone call to AAA. Police arrived at the scene at 7:46, but Maura was nowhere in sight. The car had hit a tree on the driver's side. The windshield was severely cracked, both airbags had gone off, and there were red stains all through the front of the car. But it wasn't blood, it was red wine. All of her belongings, with the exception of her cards and her cell phone, were still in the car. It's possible that some of the liquor was also missing. Originally, police didn't believe Maura was missing due to the alcohol in the car, thinking she ran to avoid DUI charges. A responding officer and EMS searched the area, but were unable to find Maura. Her car was then towed away. The next day, around noon, she was finally listed as missing.
Let's go to the bus driver.
What do you want to know?
It's odd. Very odd. So he said that he came up on the scene, talked to her, said she was fine, looked fine, but looked cold. So then he just leaves?
She said she had somebody coming, and just to take care of her if he could, he went ahead and called the police to make sure that somebody was coming out.
He waited till he got home.
Yeah.
What kind of bus? Like a school bus? Or
yeah,
like
a school bus.
So he would have had a radio in there so he could have called his dispatch to call the police?
Maybe. It wasn't really a life or death situation.
It seems odd to me. This guy's the last guy that sees her alive, basically.
There was a sighting from somebody else who saw her a few miles down the road. However, that wasn't reported until a few months later when it was all over the news.
So probably not legit.
They confirmed with clothing and everything else, they were pretty sure it was her. He didn't know until he was watching the news and he was like, wait a second, I'm pretty sure that was the girl that I saw walking down the road. And it matched the description perfectly, but it wasn't until 3 months later that he called the police because apparently he doesn't watch the news very often.
We've talked about this before. Eyewitness accounts are very inaccurate and really can't be trusted. I don't necessarily believe it just because several months already passed. You see somebody walking on the side of the road, you're not really going to pay close attention to that. You know, because honestly, like, you see somebody walking on the road, you may glance at them, but 5 minutes down the road, you're not going to really remember anything about them. Just, hey, there's a person walking down the road. So I think maybe he heard the details and kind of fit the details in that for it to stick in his mind for months, something had to have happened for it to stick in his mind for that long.
You would think so.
So unless he's just not telling us something, I don't think that sighting has anything to do with the case at all. Could have just been a random person walking down the road.
That's why I didn't include it very much, because yes, it's supposedly a sighting, but it doesn't change anything.
The last sighting we know 100% confirmed is the school bus driver.
Yes.
Suspect number one to me. It's just too many oddities. If someone's cold, why didn't he allow her to get on the school bus to warm up a little bit before he left?
I assume there's some regulation for that.
Yeah, again, though, like someone's cold and they're going to be sitting on the road for, you know, who knows how long. It just seems like the decent thing to do. And the fact that nobody sees her after the school bus driver leaves is just weird to me. And then the other weird thing, why is the school bus driver out like at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night?
There's all sorts of reasons they could be out, could be finishing up from a school trip, anything along those lines.
Yeah. More questions, though. Something's odd about the school bus driver. Like, 2004, cell phones are starting to become really popular at that point. I think most people probably have one at that point.
I forgot to mention, this is a really bad cell service area. The roads were very snowy and very icy. It's very possible there was not service anywhere where they were at. So as he may not have been able to, due to at least service.
Yeah, but then you still got the radio. He could have radioed it in and they could have called it in. Because you said that she was in the middle of the road, right? Her car?
She was on the side of the road. She hit a tree, so she was off the road.
Leaving someone there in icy conditions at nighttime is just really odd to me. Because a lot can happen. I mean, someone can come flying down the road and, you know, hit her.
I get it, but as a single woman, I would not be getting in somebody else's vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Even for warming up. No.
I mean, I get that. But at the very least, he could have called his dispatch and had them send cops out there or something to assist her. Just to leave the scene and then call when you get home. I mean, that just seems really odd to me. Like, odd behavior.
To me, it seems fairly normal. It also says he was a school bus driver. It does not say he was actually driving the bus at the time. That could just be his profession.
No, well, either way, it's still odd. Yeah, just odd.
A Be On the Lookout was listed for Maura, complete with name and description. She was wearing a dark coat, jeans, and a backpack. And finally, Fred, her father, was made aware of the situation. On February 11th, 2004, the search began. Using one of Maura's gloves, a tracking dog followed her scent about 100 yards until the scent abruptly stopped, leaving police to believe she got into another vehicle. After seeing her room, police eventually came to the conclusion that she either wanted to disappear or run away, or possibly commit suicide. But her family refused to believe this. Everyone, at some point, was questioned in her disappearance, including her boyfriend, and determined to not be involved. However, none of those tapes have ever been released. Cadaver dogs, helicopters, thermal imaging, they have tried it all to find Maura. But Maura has yet to be found. Her family is sure she must be dead by now, but they still want any answers that they can get.
That's odd, because normally the family of a missing person, I mean, logically, I think they realize that if they've been gone for a long time, they're probably dead. But it's an inability to, like, say that out loud, because then it makes it true type thing. So for them to kind of come forward and say, she must be dead, just seems odd.
Her family is almost certain that something bad happened to her. There's a few theories that we'll go over here in a little bit, but her family is just sure that it definitely was not suicide, that it was something else, that something bad definitely happened, and that she must be dead.
I agree with them, but why? We've talked about missing person cases where it's been decades. I don't think a family gives up on their kid. Like the Sauter children, they never gave up and never thought they were dead. Even though they probably were.
Oh, it's weird. Almost every missing persons case I get, my kid is still alive. I'm sure my kid is still alive. This one, they go the opposite direction. I find it odd. She is extremely close with her sisters and dad. If she left, she would somehow still be in contact with them. I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like the closer they are, the more in denial they would be.
But they searched. Even now, searches are still going on around where her car was found, and nothing.
I just can't get past that. Like, we've done a lot of missing person cases. I don't recall any of them being where that was their reaction, but she's dead. We just want to know why or what happened.
It is a different reaction than we usually find.
Very different. Almost to the point where it seems like they know she's dead. How do they know that? There's something weird. This is by far the weirdest. Even if the evidence points to someone being dead, you don't want to believe it until you see the body. Why don't they?
No idea.
That's just weird to me. It's like they know more than they're letting on. I hate to say that. And then there was a lot of weird stuff she was doing. My question would be, what caused it? There's got to be something in her life that caused all that.
I agree. You have your regular teenage and college rebellion, but this was going further than the norm.
For someone's personality to change drastically, there had to be a catalyst. Some event, they're just not saying. Knowing she's a young woman, we all know what that event probably was. Who knows something about it, and why aren't they saying anything? It's not just one person. Someone knows something.
Someone has to know something, but they're not going to come forward. All sorts of theories revolve around this case. Most notably, that Maura tried to go missing herself or commit suicide and has not been found. Also, we're pretty sure she was taken from the crash site. But by who? The theory is that either someone she knew forced her off the road and killed her, or she was taken by happenstance.
I mean, that's going to be the problem with this case, is there is so little information that any of those could be possible. I have my theories. I'm not going to say my theories because I don't want to get sued.
We don't have the money to get sued, Matthew.
Yeah.
I have $3.
But in my opinion, the family knows more than what they're telling. That's all I'll say on that. But any one of these theories could be possible. I mean, we don't know. She definitely had a personality change. So something happened, I think. Now, would it be something that... How long from she left West Point to her disappearance?
Oh, God, that's a really good question. I think it was like a couple of years.
Okay, so it was a while. All right, so we can kind of assume that if there was an event that happened, that the person involved in it probably didn't kill her. Because why would you wait 2 years after?
I don't know. Well, and even then, like, personally, I believe that she was at the very least trying to disappear. I don't know if it goes beyond that.
I have no doubt that she even just for a little bit, just to get away for a little bit, maybe clear her mind, something. But if she was, that brings up a whole new set of questions. Like, was she trying to run just to get away for a little bit, or was she trying to run permanently? And if it was permanently, who was she running from? The fact that she left school and didn't contact any of her family is really odd, especially with everything else. Especially being so close to her sisters.
That's what gets everyone else. They're like, okay, well, if she was trying to run away, she probably would have at least stayed in contact with one of her sisters or both of them.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're running from something or someone, your first instinct is to get somewhere safe. So why wasn't her first instinct to run to her home? Unless that's where the danger was. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's so much that is just unanswered and so many oddities that, I don't know. There's too many questions in this one. I don't like it.
I agree. And I personally don't like the theory that someone forced her off the road, because apparently that road right where she wrecked has like a hairpin turn, and it was snowy and icy, and apparently a lot of other people wreck around there anyway. I don't think she was personally forced off the road. I think she was probably drunk and wrecked, considering there was alcohol not only in the car, but they actually found alcohol in like an open Diet Coke can in the car. So she was most likely drinking and driving.
See, and that's the other thing, because, I mean, from the little bit that they did release, it definitely seems like she has an alcohol problem. There'd be other signs. Like, it's not something that people wouldn't notice. So why didn't anybody come forward and say anything? Like, there's just so many oddities on this. Because her classmates, friends, even her family, someone should have seen something. But it just seems like nobody saw anything. In my opinion, it just feels like this girl was just completely invisible to everybody in her life.
It makes me wonder if that's why this missing persons case blew up, is because maybe she almost was invisible to a lot of people in her life, except for like her sisters. And when she went missing, all of her classmates were like, oh my God, that girl was in our class. Oh my God.
But again, her sisters didn't see anything, or at least they didn't release anything. So how did they miss it?
They were going to different schools.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
you know, maybe they only talked through text, or apparently Maura preferred to email, which, whatever. Maybe you couldn't tell very much.
I mean, if they're as close as you say they are, they would have noticed something. Something like that, like you can't hide very well. I mean, the only reason most people get away with it is being in denial. But you can tell subtle changes. And I think even emails, you'd be able to kind of tell something is different.
You would think, but I don't know. Maura is still missing today. The greatest mystery in this case is why. We don't know the motivation. Whether it be her motivation to leave or another's motivation to take her away. Maura and her family still deserve the answers.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.